service. I just want to introduce some new ones and miss Connie, the mother of Tiffany. Understand that whenever she is on visit here, she'll visit the church. So we are very glad you are here with us. Would you happen to be Jessica? Oh, yeah, Jessica. I was told your name. I didn't get revelation from God. Don't worry about that. I was told that you are Justin's cousin. So he was the one who had a wedding yesterday afternoon. And yeah, it was good that Ansley mentioned to me that you thought of visiting us. We warmly welcome you. Church, how are you every day? To this day, I mean, every day, sure, of course. How are you today? Today sounds like a bit tired, you know, I don't know. I know why I'm tired. Partly I was not well for a couple of days. And yesterday we had quite a long day of the wedding and all that. And some of them were saying, hey, Pastor, your voice finito already, going off very fast. So I shall not speak as much. But you know what's so significant about today? Today we've been together for 2 months, NBC and THOP. Wow. Hey, no clapping, ah. Celebrate, lah. 2 months. 8 full weeks. 9 weeks, yes, but we had 8 weeks where we had been doing the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I've been sharing with you over the past weeks that it was a very deliberate, prayerful choice, I trust. And I hope that rubs into you, because it has rubbed too much into me, that you know that I may come across as sometimes being too repetitive. Pastor, heard already, you said that 2 weeks ago, you said that last week, and then you're saying it again this week. But let me tell you why. We need a lot of repetition, because we are very, very forgetful people. And more importantly, we need that restatement and reaffirmation of what is God really doing in our midst. Why 1 Thessalonians? Why this book? To live a holy life in the light of Christ returning. To allow Christ to establish our hearts blameless and in holiness, so we are ready for His coming when He comes again with His saints. Church, if you think that you as a Christian are living for any other purposes, you have missed it. There is only one purpose: to live as holy as you can alive to the glory of Jesus. I'm not trying to come across sounding spiritual, holier than thou, but I'm saying that's the commandment. Remember what Peter writes, be ye holy, just as I'm holy. Don't try to claim that you love God, you know God, you want to be like God, and you forget this very, very fundamental commandment, even from Old Testament time. God didn't say, be happy, so that in your happiness, in your prosperity, and all other blessings that you receive as a Christian, you will be a wonderful testimony for you. No need. You don't have to try to sell the gospel, or we don't have to try to sell the gospel by value-added add-ons. And then we say, we are ready to share with the world. Just be you holy, because ultimately, you know, the name of the Spirit of God, only one word, right? One description. Holy Spirit. Holiness is what sets everything apart. So we want to be doing that. And what we've done is that in this book, why was it chosen? And I've been telling you that Paul's writings in all of his epistles are very standard. First part, first segment is all about the teaching. Second part, all about the application. The most recent book we did about Romans, first 11 chapters, all about the doctrines, even putting where Israel is right now in history. And then, therefore, chapter 12 onwards, offer your lives as living sacrifices. But here in the book of Thessalonians, quite unlike all the other epistles that Paul wrote, the first part was so much, not so much in terms of instruction, but personal reflections. And you must ask, why? Why was he reflecting before he had the usual second part of practical instructions? And the reason is very simple. In the personal reflections, he remembers in his second missionary journey when the church at Thessalonica was established, that this was a very good church. Whenever we say we want to be like the early church, let's be sure which church we are referring to. You can't be referring to all of the churches that the apostle and other apostles have planted over the first century. You don't want to be like a church of Corinth with all their problems. And then we started on the first day of February, our first combined service. We look at the church as a model church. I'm not going to go into details, so don't worry. I'm not going to take too long. In fact, today's sermon and presentation is going to be quite different. A model church that we want to be modeled after. And why are we a model church? Because of the way we have received the gospel. Because of the way that we have made a reputation for preaching the gospel. And because of the way that we have proved the reality of the gospel in our lives. That's why we went into chapter 1. There is no more concise, almost comprehensive description of a church as it should be than in 1 Thessalonians, the whole chapter. A church that receives the gospel correctly, live the gospel for our reputation, and possibly could do so because of the reality of the gospel. Now, that's the last part that I want to challenge you. Have the gospel really been real in your life? Oh, Pastor, you can talk about we receive it with great joy in the power of the Holy Spirit and all that, but that's maybe instantaneous or even for a season. And how are we to create and develop a reputation unless we have really, really been living the gospel in our lives? And then do other thoughts that I shared with you, quite different from standard commentaries maybe, but using phrases that are already in the book itself. Paul calls the church in the second chapter a church that is approved by God. And he talks about fundamentally the purity of the word that we proclaim. And then a church in chapter 3, a church that Paul says, this church, and when he says our, he's talking about his co-servants, the church, our glory and joy. And my challenge to us is, when you come to the church, do you see in each other's the glory of the Lord? Don't just sing, you know. We sing that, I can see in you the glory of my King. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. No, Ben, our pastor can audition for singing or not. No way. They tell me, please don't sing. But that's a familiar song you sing. I can see in you the glory of the Lord, really? I can see in you the joy of the Lord, really? These are benchmarks. These are standards that will prevail till Christ comes again. Not having a bigger budget, bigger building, more resources, more activities, more creativities, dynamic, charismatic leadership. No. That's why these personal reflections that we have covered over the first 3 weeks when we were together help us establish the model of a church that we are to be. Then we go on to the practical instructions as we have continued in the series. And we have covered until thus far. Life before God and man, very practical. Live a life pleasing to God where He's concerned. Live a life that is proper in relationships where human beings are concerned. God doesn't miss one bit. Not one word misplaced. If you leave it the other way around and try to say, I'm pleasing men, and then I try to be as proper as I can before God, it doesn't work that way. You have to live a life that pleases God because God truly has shown His pleasure in your life and in my life. And then now, out of that, we live lives with proper relationships established amongst us. Then we talk about the death encounter, facing death. Not just about living, but also about death. And the whole idea was to address practical griefs and sorrows in this fallen world because death is still not removed from us. We will all one day die unless Christ comes earlier. We will have loved ones who might, we have had many, departed earlier than us. But what was the main injunction? Do not grieve like others as those who are without hope because Christ comes again. Then, the last one before Elder Munsing spoke in that gap Sunday that he delivered the message. We talk about the day of the Lord. And I mentioned today that the day of the Lord is very complicated. Theologians to this day after 2,000 years are still arguing when that is. Will there be a literal 7-year tribulation period? Will God come, Christ come before tribulation, pre-trib? post-tribulation at the end of the 7 year or mid-tribulation, why don't you just start writing about one quarter and three quarter also? To me, that's why I say we don't approach it this way. We approach it as understanding the day of the Lord to be certain it will surely come. We will not want to be caught by surprise. Then secondly, we are to be sober. We live with sobriety. And finally, that it is where God comes, either to deliver us unto His salvation, and for those who reject Him, to be delivered to His wrath. So today, I will wrap up this whole series with these next two thoughts. Actually, most commentaries, if you look at them, you will see that they found it hard to, you know, sometimes you like to structure. I understand why you want to structure sermons and books of the Bible, because it helps our puny, limited mind to understand better. But sometimes you overstructure, then you also change the Word of God maybe a bit. So got to be very careful about that. So the last two segments are, in a general sense, about how are we to live in practical ways, and which is what we are going to read. I was looking at it over and over again. I say, no need to come out with a three-point sermon. No need to be too clever I have and come out with alliteration. You know, I love that because that helps us to remember. Because they are just simple, straightforward, individual sentences, commandments of injunction. So let's just read it. But then, before we look at this last segment, life in the local church, and then the benediction followed by conclusion, which is again unusual, because normally you finish all the conclusion part, all the concluding remarks like Paul have written in other epistles, and then he gives a benediction. Now you see the benediction followed by some other instructions that when we read, we realize, oh, it's very personal. It's more applicable between Paul and the church people in the New Testament church. Greeting each other with a holy kiss. Well, that holy kiss, you better define properly first, you know, before you talk about greeting each other with a holy kiss. So that's where I want you to understand this whole book. Amen? I hope this has been a good summary for you. This has been a good series for us. But before I get on to the last part, I have a very good surprise for you. Sally, my wife, and Ethel, they will come and present a song. Live this day in light of that day. Now, let me tell you how this came about. Actually, while they were practicing that day in my house, and they said, hey, on the 1st of February, our first combined meeting where the Chinese ministry also joined us, they presented a song, Gently Listening. 我要 what? 轻轻听啊. 轻轻, right? 对不对? 没有说错啊. I said, oh yeah, huh? I never planned for. But because it's combined service with Chinese, it was sung in Chinese. And what was the song about? Gently Listening. You can go YouTube and clip that. It's a nice song. You love that song. Gently Listening to the voice of God. I reflected. I said, God, pastor, not so clever, lah. Cannot organize like that sweet, sweet one, you know. How can have a song right at the beginning where the challenge is, let's gently listen to the word, to the voice of God, preparing ourselves. And then over the past few weeks, I don't know, in my house, I keep hearing my wife playing this over and over again. Then we recall, oh, at that prayer meeting when we were at Elder Bansing's house, just before the Chinese New Year, evangelism, that song was sung at the Watch 1 Hour. I said, I remember that song, but oh, that was the one and only time. And then I said, hey, why not? The two of you sing lah. Some of the other singers are not around, you know. And I thought they took it to heart and they practiced very hard. Let's put our hands together, shall we? Let's welcome them. Enjoy this song. Dave, can you help them with the two stands for the, yeah. Now, I think this is good because after this song, we are just going to read scripture and close service. Okay, pastor is not going to take another 1 hour to preach, okay? Not even 15 minutes, okay? Now, you can use my mic if it's easier without the cord. Huh? Is that better? I'll take over again. Okay, let's put our hands again together, shall we? But don't just enjoy this singing. Reflect, meditate on this song and the words.
in light of that day, Christ will come, his word is true. Will he find us rich in mercy, faithful in the work we do? Where you place your time and treasure, there your heart will surely be. Are you sowing for the kingdom or for things that cease to be? Fleeting joys and fading honors cannot last beyond the grave. Only what is done for Jesus shall endure on that day, where the cross defies. There the soul finds lasting gain. God sees every quiet offering, every loss for his great
Shall we just put our hands together again one more time? To be sure, we are not applauding them, but we are giving praise to God for using them so mightily. Annie, Mimi, correct. Can I just also welcome Mimi, the aunt of Huichi, because I wasn't aware that she was joining us. We welcome Connie and Jessica, and so we welcome you also. So enjoy the service like that. Shall we just close in prayer? You'll be very happy, lah. Come on, tell me that, lah. But just for completeness sake, let me now just continue with this last two parts I mentioned, life in the local church and the benediction and the conclusion. And as I've said, I'm not going to give you any outline, but just in light of what you have just heard, the song that says, live in light of that day. These instructions, and some of these are not found elsewhere, but they are not deep, profound theological truths. Straightforward injunctions that we can follow. Why call it life in the local church? Haven't we talked about life before God and man? Talk about the death encounter and the day of the Lord. And I think the reason is because in this next segment, verses 12 to 22, Paul directs us to the local church polity. Polity means organization. I'll show you a bit of terms theologians use, lah, huh? Then you know we are also very serious one. So it's how the church runs in terms of general principles as well as in terms of relational aspects. So what do we see here? The first part in verses 12 to 15, and like I said, I'm just going to read this text for you. We see the first set of instructions concerning relationships. And there is a second part that follows in this segment. Paul says, now we urge you, brothers, sisters, recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace and among yourselves. I didn't put their verses in. I'm not talking about me. But I'm talking about, yes, a church cannot run like as if it's a corporation or it's a political party or it's some other human organization where it's top down in every sense of the word and you either shape up or ship out, you're hired, you're fired, just like that. No. In order that the church can be truly a body of Christ and works in ways that we demonstrate human aspects of love, care, concern, proper leadership, this injunction is important. Recognize people who labor among you. I'm not just talking about pastor or Joel or the others in the ministry team. I'm talking about every one of us and especially those of you who I call, whom we might call lay leaders. You're care group leaders. You're in charge of the youth ministry. You're doing the Sunday school and things like that. How do you look at these people? Oh, lucky not me, you know. Lucky not me, no need to come early every Sunday, arrange things, prepare studies and all that. It's all wrong. If you think your comfort zone is, I take my own sweet time, and please don't in any way take this personally from me. I'm saying this as a general observation that's always been true. Don't on a typical Sunday, it depends on me. What time is the service? 10 a.m. Oh, yeah, that's good. Actually, I prefer 10 a.m. than what we used to be at 11. You know, we very wake up early, very, and a lot of time, too much time wasted is that. It depends on my mood, whether I got up on the right side or wrong side. Depends on how my week has passed. Depends on whether I have other appointment, social or otherwise or whatever. And yet, how can this be so? If the Bible says, set aside the first day, unless, of course, circumstances don't allow you to. But if you see the convenience, I mean, you are telling God, be thankful I'm coming to church today. Huh? And be thankful I feel very rich and generous. I'm going to put a big offering inside. It's not about you. It's not about me. But we are here, and I'm talking about all of us, not just me alone, who have oversight over the people under our care. But church is different, right? We have to exercise discipline. Hard to score, right? You score, pastor, score too much. Pastor, call someone else. Don't bother me. Leaders try to impose on you and you come across too strongly. They back off. They can show. maybe long faces first, then after the absence, or even before that, kuching kura kind of a work, you know, neither here nor there, tida apa type, can do, do, cannot do, never mind, that kind of thing. Where is the sense of God and His sacredness? And what I prayed right at the very beginning, that when we come, who is it about? So enough said of this, okay? You know, if you do not esteem as in a proper sense, submitting to leadership, mutual submission, very hard. Maybe one other example that just came to my mind now, I'll share. In a teaching session, and especially like in the Bible school, and now I know Bible schools are so different from my time, 46 years ago now. Now I understand that in the Bible school, lecturers speak, can't finish the first sentence, some questions should get shot out. Can't finish answering, another question get shot out. And you're just challenging all the time. Sometimes the confusion style of, 你坐下, 我教你读, huh? You just sit down, oh, very, very docile. No dynamism, sure? I think sometimes too much of it causes a lot of problems. How can a class even be conducted, a lesson even go through the end, go through to the end, if every other moment somebody says, I have a question, I have a question, I have a question. You can have questions, but not the right time to ask. How about leaders who you do not know? You love for them to visit you, your loved ones when they are sick. Hey, they also have families. They also have loved ones who are sick. They themselves might even be sick. And they have multiple families to oversee in the church. I'm just telling you to just get you into this position that you be the leaders that we want to esteem also. Amen? So first, the relationship between leaders and members. Then secondly, among members themselves. Now we exhort you, warn those who are unruly. Got to warn them. They're getting out of hand. They are challenging authority, insubordination. Recently, Pastor Dan and I were with some friends and we were talking, and one issue that we heard came out in another church was higher one that fired the lower one. It was all about insubordination and all that, you know. Maybe so. But here it is more about unruliness, just doing things your own way as you like. But for the world, those who are faint-hearted, comfort them. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. But best injunction, verse 15. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for yourselves and for all. Fundamental principle. Golden rule. Do to others what you want others to do to you, right? Confucius have the same golden rule. I was told that the silver rule is do not do to others what you want, don't want others to do to you. That's silver. But basically, they are the same. But just look at this. Four verses. Four verses on church relationships. You let your pastor to do a three-point sermon or not, and then give you all kinds of outline and all that. I can't do it, honestly. I'm just telling you, it's so straightforward. Why? Because they are words spoken from the heart to the heart. If you think that this is, you know, it's just another organization. It's just a religious organization, like a political organization, like a social organization, like a sports association or whatever. And you can have your rules, your memorandum of association, your constitution and whatever. You go run that one, you can. But this is Church of Jesus Christ. He paid with His life. He is the head. We are the body. All members. Amen? So it's straightforward. So how do we practically go about living lives that really honor the Lord? Submit to leadership. In fact, you also know that it's in the book of James. Let not many of you want to be leaders, because you know that a heavier and higher standard of judgment will be laid upon your life. That's an important warning. You see pastors, you see preachers, you see mega churches, you see crusades. Whoa, out there standing on the platform, commanding thousands and just speaking. I know what it's like to speak to thousands. I was thankful, I'll tell you. Back in 1982, when my pastor from Finland, that time I was still in my second year of Bible school, paid for me, arranged everything for me to go 1 month in Finland. And there I was in their summer camp meetings. Tents, each tent can sit 10,000 people. Stood up there, just given opportunity to share what was done in Singapore. Did services in the morning, afternoon, and night. Or macam like big-time preacher like that. I told Pastor Ikena at the end of the whole thing, 21 days, I preached 18 sermons in the course of 21 days. 18 different sermons. You know what he told me? Manit, you know why? Because I was in the living room next to him, crying on his shoulder, as it were. He said, you could have used the same sermon everywhere. I said, you serious or not? I had a very good team of young people following me practically everywhere. You want me to speak the same thing to them? I ping, you know, I really literally ping. But I look back, I'm thankful. Opportunities like this, I never create for myself. But I can understand how these are so important in the church. NBCTHOP, integrated as one now in the church. So we have church relationships. Secondly, what we have, I think this actually I copied from John MacArthur. I think that was quite good. He calls them simple basics of Christian living. And again, there are two aspects. Two aspects. First one, and we sang this right at the beginning. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. RPT. What is RPT? Rejoicing, praying, thanksgiving. What's RPT short form? Repeat. You don't know how to live your Christian life, ah? Make sure you are rejoicing. Make sure you are praying. Make sure that you are thanksgiving. Very fundamental. Why these three verses so easily inspire us in the most difficult of circumstances where we think nobody understands us, but surely God understands and knows everything from beginning to the end. But what is our response? How are we to live our Christian life? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in it, right? We sing the song from the Psalms. And Paul in the book of Philippians, the book on joy. Rejoice, and I say again, rejoice. Let your forbearance be seen by men. Forbearance means your temperance, your patience, you know. And all you can do there is because you're praying, you're trusting, and you're thanksgiving. Three fundamental things of attitudes of the way we live our Christian life. Never mind, never attended a Bible course, much less got enrolled in a Bible school. But is your life characterized by this? And I submit to you, yes, it's not always easy. I cannot say I'm always rejoicing. I'm not saying that we have no sorrows. I say we have. But when we are pushed back, when we have fallen, God upholds us, we press on again. We are never there, down in the dumps forever. But we can take His injunction, His commandment, His word, His promise. Rejoice. What else did the Bible say? Ezra, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. They were gathered together. And he was about to preach to them a sermon. Then they see their faces so sad. Say, why are you crestfallen? Why are you downcast? Rejoice in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The psalmist applies it so many times in the course of their struggles in life that God can do wonderfully for you that no pastor, no matter how wise, how careful his words were chosen, how eloquent he came across, how empathetic he was. In fact, let me use one example. Some of you remember Pastor Freddy, right? This actually I heard from my own sister-in-law's family that he was visiting someone in the family. And all he did was he kept quiet. Never said a word. I think that one still, I remind him many times. I know him. He is a good man. We have a good pastoral. Just don't talk too much, lah. You know? Nobody knows you are dumb until you open your mouth and dispel all doubts. Heard that before? Go and read that carefully, yeah? But it's not a good thing, huh? just His presence, the empathy, as it were, just oozes out. Sometimes visitation is not go there, talk, you know. And we've been recently, my sister-in-law, one of them, and especially older ones getting into dementia stage, right? I told my people, whoever come with me, if you want to come with me for a visit, you take my cue. You don't lead the conversation. Come there. Hey, hello, brother. Hey, you recognize me or not? Remember me or not? Wow, you're very important. The guy struggling with dementia, he say, recognize me or not? What is about you? Why don't you just say, hey, brother, I'm so-and-so. And then the guy, oh, yeah, so good. Actually, they hope for you to reveal yourself. These are simple etiquettes of counseling and visitation, you know. And you want to bring up the heart, the spirit of a person. You want to bring cheer to him. You don't want to give them more burden. Then boast some more. Oh, I visited, huh? Recognize me, okay? Very howling, right? Church, we are running church very differently here. I'm telling you for a fact. I've been upset, you know, with the way things have turned out in terms of our premises, but I'm very, very, very comforted that things are not in my hands. It's not my agenda I'm driving. God will do it. Amen? So take it to heart. Repeat this. Rejoice, pray, thanksgiving. But there's also a spiritual alertness that we are to cultivate. Don't quench the spirit. And I don't deny him, because NBC, one of the things they were concerned about was a Pastor Bunny from Pentecostal one, you know, and all that years back. But they never see me. Dr. Peck, you know him, right? Came to my church, said, Bunny, I think I'm more charismatic than you. I said, good for you, Dr. Peck. I'm telling you, upfront, all these things. But we won't be sure. And God might just be leading us into this. And He has to. Because we are fighting not against flesh and blood. It's not our intellect against somebody else's intellect. Just read a clip of a very, very prominent preacher in his old age. And he was asked, what would you tell a young so-and-so who now wants to go into ministry? Because this man is in his 90s. And the interviewer said, what would you, like as if tell yourself, if you, 70 years back, you have 70 years of ministry, what would you tell the person? You know what he said? Don't go to seminary. Joel, how? Can stop learning already, lah. And he quoted what? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Peter and John, confronted by the Sanhedrin, by the religious leaders, and they look at them and say, these were uneducated men. Uneducated, not meaning that they got no education, but they didn't have the formal rabbinic education. And the power, the anointing was there. Church, don't quench your spirit. Don't despise prophecies. But then, as our theme for this year, knowing that this might be what we have to grapple with, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. You don't fight falsehood with more falsehood. You fight falsehood with the truth. And again, a simple illustration, although now not so common, right? But yes, mate, we heard. You go to the bank, go to the teller, you say you want to deposit this amount of money. And what are we to? The teller, take your money, just by the feel of it, they know if there is any counterfeit notes. How did they learn? They touch many counterfeit notes. I think they blur already after that. They touch the truth. They keep holding on to the truth. That when you have the truth and a falsehood, even a half-truth comes, immediately it gets exposed. It's powerful. Satan has the upper hand on us many times because we allow his half-truths, his doubts. Did God really say? Did God really say cannot touch from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Put doubt in you. Then he deceives you. You will not die. God says you do it, you will die. He denies. From doubt to denier. Then he went to blatant deceit. You know why not? You know why God don't let you eat or not? Because you'll be very God yourself. doubt, denial, deceit, standard, operating, what? OMR, operate. What is the word suddenly for a moment? Standard operating procedure, SOP, take from the defense person, can't go wrong. That's what it is. So this last part of instructions are very, very, very simple and yet very comprehensive and covers everything. How we are to relate with the leadership, how we are to relate among ourselves, and then how we are to continue to cultivate in our lives a spirit of rejoicing, of praying, and of thanksgiving. And at the same time, sensitive to the things of God. So we come to the final part, the benediction that came before the conclusion. And oftentimes, this is the two verses that we quote at the end of service. Service leader who ends at end, usually may quote one of these, as like many others that are relevant. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. To sanctify is to set you apart. Only God can set you apart, and you are set apart by the blood of Christ. That may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then to have the assurance, he who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Very complete. 1 Thessalonians 1, I'm telling you, because I've done that before, but I didn't think I did it with that much intensity like I've done for these last 8 weeks. But I know it's an important book for us, the foundation, the Word of God that helps us to move forward. And then to conclude with a benediction that says, God is at work. God shows no favoritism. God just wants faithfulness. You are reading the Bible through 1 year. I know many people are behind time. Never mind. It's not easy. I'm a bit inspired to say, why all these Bible study read through the 1 year can never work? It never work with me also, you know. I must write one that I say practical, and then, okay, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just boasting. I'm just jesting. But to know God is the one who will keep us and preserve us. Why? Because he who calls you is faithful. Men of God, leaders of God, we are still human beings. We may not be faithful. We are not perfect, but God is. And he will bring all these things to pass. Paul writes it in Philippians chapter 1 and 2 verses that I want to encourage you to use very often amongst your greetings or prayers for one another. Verse 3, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. This is not off my text, so I'm just saying, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Never pray for a person, right? Why don't you take that to heart? And then that day, suddenly, that moment, somebody's name, somebody's picture, image comes to you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. You pray for the person. Then verse 6, for I'm being confident of this one thing, that God who has started a good work in you, he is the one who will perfect it until the day of his coming. Amen? So we conclude. Happy, huh? Finally happy. Happy, happy. Amen at the end. He concludes with some instructions. Pray for us. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. Like I say, this one is cultural. And this one, I tell you, whether you find humorous or whatever or not, I don't know. This pastor was wanting to encourage this, you know. And then he has such a beautiful wife, you know. Then holy kiss and hugging and what have you and all that. He said, well, cannot like that. Cancer. I'm just talking about practical things. But here was a custom. The holy kiss is more the cheek to cheek. I think you understand it, right? And then he says, I charge you that let this epistle be read to everyone. I don't think any other epistle Paul writes the same. Which is why I think 1 Thessalonians stands out. To be read everywhere means, this is not just applying to Thessalonica church. This applies to the church in Corinth. This applies to the church in Ephesus. This applies to the church in Smyrna. This applies to whatever other churches. Corinth church, there are immediate church problems, all kinds of problems he addressed. Of course, these have got issues they address with, particularly more with second coming of Christ. And that's why Paul wrote this letter. So I was thinking, how shall I bring this series to a close? And today being exactly the last Sunday of the 2 months that we say we'll run in our integration. Coming Friday, we have a combined service with the Chinese. Actually, you know that this is the start of Holy Week. Today is called Palm Sunday, for better or for worse. It's just because they were waving palms and shouting Hosanna to the Son of David. Now, we don't have to follow that. But Friday, Good Friday, we're going to talk about the sin-bearing Messiah, and Easter Sunday, that He is risen. He bore sin, but He rose. We bear sin, we die forever. Amen? That's the truth. So let me just conclude with some sentences from the song that you have heard Ethel and Sally sung. Title of the song, Live This Day in Light of That Day. Live this moment. I tell you, it helps me a lot. Whenever I feel like the world is getting too confusing, Middle East issue, and a lot of smart alecks, a lot of prophets and what have you, I get more confused. I say, forget it. I just make sure I'm ready for that day to come. And this day, whatever it takes, however it shapes out, not important, because God is in charge. So from the words of the songs, live this day in light of that day, faithful in the work we do. Let the cross direct your path. Die to self and rise with Jesus. Every moment has great purpose when it's lived for Christ today. Amen. Let's stand together. I just wonder, Joel, can we take this song again? And then we can have the whole congregation singing. Yeah, and then you click. And after that, we'll look to God in closing prayer before I hand the time to our service leader to give the announcements.